your record already?
Yeah, it's been on.
Okay. Okay, good evening, everybody. We're going to call this meeting to order. 6:33. Will you join us for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'm going to declare a quorum with all three board members present. Unfortunately, Robert, our new overseer, I'm going to go into that just a little bit. We had James was our overseer at the beginning of November, or into November. He started in September. Unfortunately, he resigned on November 14th. We had Robert was an operator at the time. He's the gentleman with over 30 years experience with Sedgwick County, 15 years running a blade over there. I think close to 20 miles of, at least 20 miles of just building roads from scratch. And we had a short meeting on November 19th and voted to promote him to our overseer. Unfortunately, his mom has, and he told me I could say all this, Robert is 54, close to my age. His mom has dementia pretty bad. Today, the water went out in her house and really threw her off, and after work today, he had to go take care of her. So he was unable to make it tonight. So I'll just go right into the overseer's report that he and I put together. You can see it's standard from most of the past months as well. The miscellaneous stuff that comes at the top. Sorry, I'm going through this. Just I see some of the new faces. Then moved on to the material hauled by the township. And then outside contractors that we had helping us after all that rain that we had September and into October. You'll see the fuel and labor hours worked, and then a list of the equipment and graded roads on the back. Just pretty standard stuff there. Let's see. Next item I'm going to move to is I'm going to introduce our auditors. This is Chad Andra, Scott Terrell. Is that how you say it right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jennifer. They've done a couple of audits for, or let's see, one, two other audits for us in the past, and he's reporting on the 2014 audit this evening. He'll confirm we're very close on the 2017 audit as well. Unfortunately, not quite done for tonight. A few more pieces to pull together. We hope to present that at the January 24th meeting. Please, Chad, go ahead.
I'll just go over a few things, and if anyone has any questions, feel free to interrupt me. Just kind of overcap where we're at. This is the report that we handed out tonight is for 2014. 2013 we did, and it has the same type of report as 2014, which I'll go into in a minute. And then 2015 was already done by another CPA firm, and then we already completed 2016 and gave a report saying that it was in compliance with the Kansas Municipal Audit Guide. And then 2017, we're close to being completed. We just have to get some more information to verify the numbers, and as soon as we can get that information, then we're planning to present 2017 at the January meeting, and then that'll catch up the water or the township on the audits. And when we do the 2017, there's going to be a kind of a letter to the board too with some recommendations along with the audit report, and so we're working on that right now too. But for 2013, that's already done, and then 2014 that we're going over tonight, the audit report that's on those 2 years basically said that we could not gather enough information to actually express an opinion stating that the township is in compliance with the KMAG requirements. There wasn't enough receipts and items retained that we were able to issue a normal report saying that, you know, the township followed the Kansas Municipal Audit Guide. We basically created this report based on budget information sent to the state and also the bank statements. And there, you know, there was two versions of QuickBooks that year. One was the version that the prior treasurer had entered, and then Katie recreated the QuickBooks also based on the bank statements, and we went off those recreated QuickBooks off the bank statements because the original QuickBooks and records just were not really good enough to go off of. They weren't really that complete or handled correctly, so we went off recreated statements. So these statements are, you know, based off of the bank statements. And so this independent auditor's report, the first page on page one just basically lays out, you know, the responsibility of management and then our responsibility. If we look over on page two, the first paragraph says that we have an adverse opinion on U.S. generally accepted accounting principles. That doesn't mean there's a problem. All that means is the township, along with most municipalities in the state of Kansas, opted to follow the Kansas Municipal Audit and Accounting Guide rather than federal accounting guidelines. And so most municipalities in the state of Kansas opt out of GAAP and choose to follow the KMAG. So that paragraph, that's all that's saying. And same with the second paragraph. It's just saying that we're following KMAG. Now, what is unusual is the third and fourth paragraph. Basically, we're saying we're disclaiming an opinion. We're not giving an opinion saying that we're following KMAG because there was not enough audit evidence, enough records to back up the transactions. So it basically says the potential effect of any undetected misstatements could be material and pervasive because there's not receipts to back up the items on the statements. And so basically that just says we're not issuing an opinion on that year, but this report does meet the requirements of the state that you have an audit each year and that this report is going to be sent to the state once the board accepts it tonight. On page three, it just talks about supplementary information, and that's just information that the Kansas Municipal Audit and Accounting Guide requires. Page four is the actual financial statement. There's actually just one financial statement, and then everything else is supplementary information that supports that statement. And so on a KMAG report, you don't have a balance sheet like you would on a GAAP report or a normal accounting report. There is no balance sheet required by KMAG, so there's nothing showing equipment, nothing showing inventory. All that KMAG requires is the beginning fund balances, that's basically in the bank account, the receipts, the expenditures, and then the ending balance for the year. So we don't set up a balance sheet with a listing of equipment. We don't depreciate equipment. So this is what's called the regulatory basis. It's following the KMAG format. And the reason the state does that is it's simpler for taxpayers to understand where the flow of the money is going. So back here, starting on page five, these are just notes to that financial statement. It just kind of explains what a fund is, the accounting policies that the township uses, information about the budget that has to be filed with the state, It talks about, on page 7 and 8, it talks about the deposits at the bank and that they're covered by FDIC insurance in 2014. On page 9, we didn't have enough information to be able to complete that page, but that just shows the capital leases on three pieces of equipment. The amortization schedules for back then weren't available, so that's why we don't have any principal and interest broke out for all those years. But we do show the payments that were made in 2014 and the interest that was paid. And then on page 10, it just talks more about that, you know, there's always risk when there's grants. There's, you know, potential claims for insurance. Those, if there are any liabilities, since this is the cash basis, they're not really, you know, they're not shown on a balance sheet as a potential liability. In 2014, there really wasn't, you know, other than not having enough information to do an audit, there really wasn't anything. On the information that we did have, there wasn't any material violations noted on the Kansas statutes. But, you know, the biggest thing was there just wasn't enough information to do a complete audit. Back here on page 11, it shows the budget for 2014 compared to the expenditures. And there was, you know, the budget at least covered was higher than what they spent, which that's something that you know, there's a Kansas statute that says that, you know, that you shouldn't go above what was budgeted. And so they did not in 2014. They budgeted enough. Page 12 showed the general fund. That just shows more detail of what the income and expenses were. And then page 13 is the road fund, which shows the detail of the income and expenses. And then page 14 was a special equipment fund. And that just shows that was, there was some money sitting there from 2013 and it was spent in 2014. So that fund was kind of zero balance at the end of 2014. Are there any questions from anyone?
As you said on page 10, you mentioned the conclusion. What was that?
Oh, on page 10, note 9, compliance with Kansas statutes. There's a checklist of statutes in KMAG that we have to go through and see whether the township is following them or not. There wasn't enough information in 2014 that we, on the information we had, there wasn't enough nothing that showed any violation. But they're just the overall.
I'm confused. You say there's not enough information, mm-hmm. And now you say you come to the conclusion there's no violations.
Well, that's why this audit report says that this financial statement doesn't have an audit opinion, because there's not enough information. And so we're saying that this report, including the notes, we can't give an opinion saying that it's accurate.
You said you just got through saying that there's no violations here.
Well,
that is, by definition, an opinion. How can you say that, simultaneously say there's not enough information?
Well, these financial statements and notes are the township's. And so the township is saying there was no violation. We're saying we can't give an opinion on that because there's not enough information to give an opinion on it. So, and that's something that people may realize. These are not our financial statements and notes. These are the township's. And the township board, you know, we help them prepare them, but they ultimately look them over and we give them a draft. And it's their financial statements and notes. We just give an opinion as to whether those financial statements and notes follow KMAG. And in 2014, we couldn't give an opinion. Just the same as 2013, we couldn't give an opinion. Now, I will say in 2017, that note 9 is going to have some information on it, because 2017, we do believe there could be some issues that need to be looked at. But I will tell you that KMAG list, most of those statutes are non-penal statutes, which means if the township does not follow them, there's no consequence. On a statute, on that list, there's only a few that are penal statutes, and if it's a penal statute, then we have to let the county attorney know if there's a violation. But if it's a statute that's a non-penal statute, which most of them on that list are, we have to write on the letter that the township isn't following it and they should be following it, but there's nothing that the county attorney or anyone's going to do about it, because there's nothing on the Kansas statute saying that there's any kind of consequence.
Would you explain to me the differences on those statutes between this audit report and GAAP?
GAAP, the biggest difference is you would have in like a for-profit business, you'd have a balance sheet, you'd have inventory, you'd have equipment listed, you'd have your liabilities listed. On a KMAG regulatory basis, you don't. And that's a huge weakness that the state has, because there's no one keeping track of the equipment, no one keeping track of the inventory. It's not even required for us to audit that, because there is no balance sheet.
So you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that this reporting system can cover up fraud and abuse?
Well, an example would be someone could be stealing inventory or, you know,
what?
Supplies.
Fraud and abuse.
Fraud and abuse. And it would not be caught by a KMAG audit, because a KMAG audit doesn't even have a balance sheet. There's no inventory. There's no equipment. And that is a bad... I mean, Kansas is unique. There's not very many states that actually have a separate way of... Most states require municipalities to follow GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, which is a, you know, kind of a nationwide... followed nationwide. But Kansas, from what I've heard at continuing education classes, Kansas is pretty unique in that we're one of a very few states that actually has their own system for municipalities. It was set up years ago. One of the reasons is Kansas has more municipalities per people than almost any other state in the nation. And so a lot of our municipalities are so small, they can't afford a GAAP audit. They can't afford to have a GAAP accounting system and a GAAP audit, because a GAAP audit might be 2 to 3 times more than a KMAG audit. And so that's why 99% of Kansas municipalities follow KMAG. The only ones that don't are the larger ones that are required by, like, their bondholders, like City of Wichita. They'd have large bonds, and those bonds, the bond people would require a GAAP-based accounting system and a GAAP-based audit. But I know, there's concerns in the township about some of these items, but some of these items KMAG doesn't even require to be accounted for, which is a big weakness. Now, that doesn't mean that the township shouldn't have some controls in place to try to prevent misuse of funds or assets. And that's one thing that, will be in our upcoming letter, some suggestions on maybe ways that some of those things, can be prevented.
Follow up. Two questions. One, in your professional opinion, would this township benefit from GAAP procedures versus this procedure?
Two,
have you found suggestive evidence of potential fraud and abuse?
I've heard of a lot of things, but I have yet to have anyone, and I've asked many times, is that I have not found any proof.
Okay. There's a difference between what I'm saying and what you're saying. I'm asking in your professional opinion, because we don't have this evidence, you don't have the necessary information to make that judgment. Therefore, how do you get that information to make that judgment?
Well, it is rare on this 2013 and 2014 report. I will say this is the first time that I have ever had to issue a report with no opinion, because there just was not enough information to issue a report. And I do know it's very rare to do that. But if that information...
Why does that not fit criminality?
That is up to the county attorney and the state to decide. And I've talked to the state of Kansas, the Kansas Division of Accounts and Reports, about the township and what we have filed, because it is rare to have a no opinion. And the
You failed the audit.
Well, yeah, basically there's not enough to do an audit on.
You failed the audit.
And the state, I've talked to three different ones that work in the Division of Accounts and Reports, and they acted like they didn't want to pursue anything more. They just said what I did met their requirements for the township to have an audit done and the report filed, and that's as far as it goes. I mean, you know, it's not...
No, I'm not jumping your case. I'm just saying...
No, I mean, I think your question...
I don't understand how it is that we can have criminal activity. It looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it swims like a duck, but it ain't no damn duck.
Well, there's just no proof.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
In all your documentation that you looked at, what you have here is strictly what's money in, money out.
Right.
There was no control, no identification of the work done or the total valuation and worth of the township.
No, on this type of report, all that it is is the bank accounts, the flow of money in and out.
That's what I'm saying. But you can't prove why that money was why we know why it came in because they gave it to them.
Right.
But you can't show where it went out except on a bank statement.
Right. Whatever's on the bank statement is what's
okay.
On
I just
report.
Make sure that you didn't have some other documentation that would have supported.
There was a few receipts, but very few for 2014.
Is it unusual to have the audits that haven't been done for 4 years?
It's fairly rare on the municipalities that are required to have an audit. I have seen it before, but it's you usually don't want to get that far behind. Usually the state wants the audit in within 12 months after the end of the year. So like, December 31st, 2018, the 2018 year should be into the state by December 31st, 2019. That's what the KMAG requires. But there again, I've seen people, like I've asked the state, is there any consequence for filing this late? No.
Do you provide audits for other townships?
I do not do any other townships right now, but I do some other municipalities.
Do you have a series of best practices
townships? I will say most townships are not required to have an audit because they're small enough. If their receipts are under a certain threshold, they aren't required to have an audit. So there's actually not too many townships in the state of Kansas required to have an audit. That your township has enough income flowing in that it's required to have an audit, but most of the townships in the state don't even have audits, they're not required to. So that's why. But there are, like I said, the next, in January, we do plan to have a letter that'll be addressed to the board of some things that the board needs to do to improve procedures or make sure that they're following.
Best practices.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions. Would you recommend that since the records for 2013 and 14 were recreated, that the county clerk's reports that we give them every year be recreated as well, or do you think it's sufficient that you provide them with your report?
Oh, the like the budget report.
Yeah, the
report
that's submitted every year. Expense.
There are some errors on what was submitted to the state for those years compared to what's submitted on here. And I had asked them about that when we submitted 2013, and they said this report was sufficient, that it was too far back, they didn't really need those.
And since we send it to the county commissioners, do you see a need to replace what the county was given? Because that's what the state gets, right?
Yeah. I think just send it, because if the board accepts this report tonight, then basically I'm required to send it to the state and also the county commissioners, and then that should be sufficient to at least let them know what was done. And even though it may be different than what was submitted prior, this kind of supersedes it.
Okay, my second question was, as to my knowledge, a municipality can, like you were saying earlier, actually to vote to do the gap accounting, which I would prefer, since I spent 30 years as a cost accountant, that this municipality thing is expense-driven and very different to me. But I just wanted to point that out. The board could elect to do that.
To do gap accounting and to do a gap.
And that would cover the inventory that you were talking about and the asset reports and the verifications of them.
Much more involved. It would be, like I said, probably three times as costly. I mean, it'd not only be more costly to do the audit, it'd also take the treasurer or whoever is doing the accounting and take them more time. Or be more involved.
Could you give a guesstimation for this township as to the cost of gap accounting internally, and then guesstimate, you said about three times more, and give us a guesstimation figure in dollars?
The audit, like the 2017 audit will be about $7,500, and so two to three times more, it'd probably be around $15,000 to $20,000 to do a gap audit. Now, how much more time it would take internally to do that, I wouldn't be able to.
Well, you're in a position to have a better idea than me.
It would probably, add, at least 25% to 35% more additional time on top of the time that's already spent to do that, extra accounting work. It would probably increase it, I would say, roughly by a third more additional time.
One of the points that I would like to speak to for you, sir, and I don't think I know who you are, but anyway, I'm Julie Winslow, and I'm the board clerk. I think it would be great if we did gap accounting. I did make a suggestion to the board this year that we transfer all the duties of the treasurer and go ahead and have our accountant do all the bail paying so that he could do our reports very easily, so that he could keep everything in one place since he already does the payroll. It would be a very easy add to do. And I think that even though he is a actual township treasurer himself in Bruno Township, I think that he could make the transition easily to having us do gap accounting just because he is also a CPA. So if that helps your question, I think in light of everything that you've heard tonight, I would think that would be an excellent way to go. And I think it would save us money in spite of the cost of the audit being greater, frankly. That's my opinion.
As a taxpayer.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
This man has gone through an audit just like the DOD. This can't be done. Yep. How much money was lost? I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm kind of like in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Alice falls down the rabbit hole. Well, where have you come from? I don't know.
Well, it takes three board members to vote.
Well, if you don't know where you're going or where you've come from,
yeah,
how are you going to know when you arrive?
Right.
And the rat, and Burr Rabbit just hops off over the hill.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, but as a taxpayer, this is a waste of time.
Okay, hang on, sir. I can address that a little bit. As he was talking about, those audits are from 2013 and 14. This board pretty much is from late 14, 15 on. And the 15 audit and the 16 audit, we have receipts. I think the 15 audit, we literally had $80 out of $500,000 that we didn't have receipts for. The 2016 audit came back.
The 2016 audit with, we did issue a report saying that the township followed the KMAC requirements and it was in compliance.
And I understand your point about balance sheet and inventory, that kind of thing, but I'm just saying as far as money flow.
Now, I guess further expand on that question I had about working with other townships. I do work with about three other townships that I have helped, but they are ones that are small enough that they don't even require an audit.
That's one thing, but that's not here.
Right, at this point. Now, if they raise that threshold any further, you may get to the point where you don't have to.
In a question that we had this year, nothing's been proved, but it's pretty suspicious that thousands of gallons of fuel went missing and was never accounted for. Would this gap thing, would that help in that instance where that fuel has gone missing? And
you know what I would recommend, is if it was me, what I'd recommend instead of going with the gap would just be making sure there's some controls in place to make sure those things don't happen. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have a balance sheet to keep track of it. You can just make sure and have some controls in place so someone isn't misusing fuel, as an example.
So more like committees and maybe other board members to help control.
Yeah, or have procedures in place on keeping a log of how that fuel is used and what vehicle it's used in, and compare that to the miles on the vehicle and see if it looks reasonable. As an auditor, I'm not required to do it, but the board could do it, or they could appoint someone to do it. There's some steps like that that could be put in place that wouldn't cost that much and would really, you know, be effective.
Right. And Linda, to address that, we do have a log that was supposed to be filled out. But more importantly, we did stop having deliveries of the fuel out to the shop. And instead of having the main tank there, we've gone to the Cenex, just gas cards. And each card has an individual number that is designated to one employee in particular. And so that's only used for unleaded fuel. And it'll go under that employee's number.
When did we start that? Because I have seen bills already.
I know, just in the last month, honestly.
Well, you can't tell them that it's only Cenex and then be ordering gas out the back door to put in that tank out there, because that's what you just told them.
The last order on the tank was
a couple of months ago, but still.
Yeah, exactly. And it was only 100 gallons in the transition of all these employees turning over. You're right. We did a little bit more. Actually, to be totally upfront, we ordered twice, 100 gallons each time. We were in the transition of all these employees turning over, and it was just to make sure we had some gas out there, frankly.
So it's not going to be a continuing policy then that you're going to keep continuing to deliver gas to the tank. You're going
correct.
To have,
we're done.
To go buy the credit cards.
We're done. We're not delivering it out there anymore.
What about the hours on the equipment?
As far as the fuel fuel being dispensed, or I'm sorry,
well,
what
you drive a maintainer down the road, they don't they have mileage on that, but they also have hours.
Correct. We did. That's part of this overseer's report. We do have a greater log. Tell you what, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop 1 second. Let's stay with the audit. Did anybody else have any other questions? And I'll come back to that. Okay.
I do. Just one. Remembering what you audited last year and what your recommendations to the board, and I know that you really can't talk about 2018 yet, but are you seeing any of those recommendations being adopted by this board?
Well, that's kind of what we're looking at right now to finish up the 2017.
Okay.
And I really, at this point, can't say.
Okay.
May I have a question? I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. Work controls, would they have been an advantage to doing this? In other words, assigning work orders to certain jobs or certain areas going across, identifying fuel, equipment, labor, materials?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be...
Then is that something that's audible with you rather than just taking a dollar figure off of a checkbook?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you had, you could track, you know, where, like, when materials are delivered, you could track them, you know, where, you know, what road they're put on or used for. Is that kind of what you're getting?
Well, it would also include your equipment hours, the fuel burn, the labor that's involved, any repairs that might be necessary associated with that job, so on and so forth.
Does that
help as far as an audit goes? Something like this.
Those are good controls to have in place for internal controls. That's not really required for us to do for a KMAG audit. But they are
practices. Money in, money out, that's it.
Pretty much. That's all the state is requiring.
For KMAG.
Like I said, if they raise this threshold any higher, which they've talked about, you may even get to a point where you're not even required to do the KMAG audit. Which, like I said, that's why there are so many municipalities in this state that aren't even required to do an audit. And then when they are required to do an audit, it's a KMAG audit, which is kind of unique. It's not a, you know, really a complete financial statement.
Sounds like a joke. That's all
right. Would GAAP be able to track what he's talking about?
It would, yeah, you could track to
this
jobs.
Doesn't, no, but would GAAP be able to?
Potentially.
So in other words, that would be a check in the system on what he suggested. Third-party check in the system.
Yeah. But we're not really doing, I mean, if there's a, you know, a, we're not really doing an internal control audit. But there is such a thing as that, where you could actually, and you're not required to do it, but you could actually have an audit of the controls that you have and test to see if those controls are working. There are, you know, those, that is a potential type of audit.
How much would it cost for you to set a recommendation on those kinds of controls?
I really don't do internal control audits. That would be something we'd probably have to get another someone else.
That is not a tremendous problem. It's not a big deal. You can have computer programs that handle that without a problem. Or set up a simple worksheet is all you have to have. But then somebody has to maintain day by day what's being done, how much fuel is being used,
yeah,
how many hours are on
your
equipment, how many man hours.
That's where the person comes in.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be outside of the loop.
I would think so, yes.
We do have that policies and procedures manual, but it's never been adopted.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, I will put a motion on the table to accept the 2014 audit for the township done by Chad Andra Auditors.
Second.
So moved. Motion's made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, 3-0. We have the, just bear with us 1 second. We take care of them so they don't have to sit through the rest of the meeting. We have an invoice for this audit in the amount of $6,500, which was the agreed upon and standard price. So a motion on the table to just pay this separately before we get to the voucher list to approve this invoice as is. So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Sorry. Can you say that?
sorry, it's approved 3-0?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't put that on the report.
I thought everybody said aye.
Better cash it quick.
I'll get that sent to the state and county commissioners tomorrow.
Okay.
And,
yep.
And then that filing.
And we have that to, we'll send that in.
Send that in tomorrow.
I have a card for that.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll see you in
Thank
January.
You.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you
very much. Check in. You don't know who that is yet? Yeah, in the middle.
Mm-hmm. You probably know the name, but not the face.
Next on our invisible agenda.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on with the clerk's report.
So, we skipped the minutes and all that?
Yep.
So the minutes, okay, because there's no agenda, and I apologize, I don't write the agenda, but there's no agenda, but if anybody wants to copy the email, there's two things that are supposed to be on the agenda, and I'll just read it to you. Let's see. Accepting the 2014 audit and paying the auditors. And then the only other thing on the agenda right now is to reissue the township credit card in Robert's name.
That was as of this afternoon. Also, the auditor just brought up, as far as the, as he was talking about the KMAG versus a GAAP audit, we need to pass resolutions to do the KMAG audit versus the GAAP, basically.
Why do you need to do that when it's already been done for this year? If you're going to do that, wait till January. That's when you need to do it, right?
I thought we had done it. He said he didn't see it in the 2017.
Well, do you have all
minutes.
The clerk's notes and stuff? They're all online, so we're supposed to be.
I'm just telling. I'm just telling you what he just told me is that he didn't see it in the 2017 minutes.
Yeah, I looked at the 2017 minutes. I didn't see the resolution passed for 17.
Okay.
If you can tell me which month it's in, I can go back and look again, but I didn't see it.
It doesn't matter to me. I thought we already did, so I'll just let them be the majority.
I thought we had. We can always just repass it. It's not. And then for 18 as well. I don't know. It may have been just an oversight. We sit there and talk to the auditors about it and the accountants and just pass. All right, so anyway, that's on items of business.
Okay, so are we amending the agenda?
I think we're doing
there's nothing official, Julie.
I'm sorry? Normally we have an agenda. What now?
It's your report.
There's no...
Please go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to skip the minutes then, right? We'll skip the minutes for the last month's meeting.
There's no minutes ready.
Well, Jeff, you're falling behind on my job. Okay, so some things that I want to bring up is that the website is not up to date. Okay, I would like in the future, even off the board, the website to be kept up to date. That means all the records that are brought to the meetings every month are there. That would include, of course, all the treasury reports. That would include the minutes that Jeff writes, and that would also include any of the special events happening on our roads, the projects and so forth, be kept up to date, and then the overseer's reports as well. Another thing that I would personally like to see is Robert's Rules of Order either going to be accepted for all or not partially, but we either do the Robert's Rules or we do not do any of the Robert's Rules of Order, because it's been a pretty steady mix all year long. One thing I want to tell you guys, that in many visitations that I've had with Foley in the last year, one thing I've learned very recently is that although I've tried to get the software purchased for the grader to track cellularly, which means that any of the board members could actually see on their cellular phone where that grader was, where it had been, all the access would be right there. I think that would be great, and I'm all for it. Now, I was told by one of the previous overseers that it was not possible and it was too expensive, but lately I have found out that for only $10 a month, we can have cellular tracking on that grader. So that is one of the things that I would recommend. I also want to make this point to tell my fellow board members publicly that records that I would be requesting on a steady basis starting in January, and that is a copy of the voucher report, so the final voucher report, and since I'll be coming to the meetings, that shouldn't be a problem, but I would like a preliminary one. Bank statement copies when they come, and they come at the same time every month, and there are already records that are existing, so that shouldn't be a problem. And then also to be notified of any special, regular, or agenda meeting notifications and any changes of where the meetings are. I did notice that in January it's been changed to the fourth Thursday instead of the normal third Thursday, and we haven't really adopted that, so I don't know what happened there, but apparently in January, it'll be the fourth Thursday.
Usually at the same place?
Supposed to be.
At the utility. We got to come up with a new name for that now. The community
American
room.
American State Bank room, I think, is community what it's called room now.
What used to be the Rose Room when it was Rose Hill Bank and is now American State Bank, community room, or whatever they're calling it now.
Okay, so another thing that I am really looking to have is I would like for the township to purchase the camera system that is out there that belongs to the trustee or belongs to his wife's company. I'm not sure who owns it, but here's the problem. We could have already known what happened to that gas if those had been backed up, and I've asked for backups every 30 days and have been denied them. So just making a public record of it. And then the culverts being built, I don't know who's building the culverts, but I haven't seen any come in lately. I think that there's some kind of request last year in the auditor's report that we establish the system, but Jeff does everything now. So I don't know what his new system of billing culverts is. Anyway, it's been a fun 5 years, and I wish the very best to the next clerk, who's incidentally sitting right there. Michael Seeds is his name, and he'll be taken over, and I hope you have better luck than me. Now, there's a couple of items here that I sent to Katie and my trustee this month, wondering about some billing from Summit Trucking. And I sent you and Jeff an email on the 4th of December, and I asked about invoices from Summit for $38 and for $406. And this was May, June, and July time frame that they called me about, and I have not yet received a response from you, Katie.
Actually,
and I also sent another one just a few days later and asked you for the same thing. So,
would you like me to tell you what email has the response in it?
Yeah, would you? Because, golly darn, it didn't print with any of the ones that I sent. Did you respond to them, or did you make up a new one? Because making up a new one is fine, but if I didn't get it, I didn't get it. I just wondered, you could just tell me now about those invoices. Have you paid them?
They're on
the voucher list. I didn't have them because they never made it to me.
Oh, why is that?
So I finally have them because the summit does not mail those. And
that's not what they told me. They said they mail them to the P.O. Box 407, and then they sent a copy to, I think, what Jack's old email is.
May I finish?
Well, don't tell me they don't mail them because they told me they did.
Well, for one, yes, they had very old information. I don't know who all's information it was that they had in the system. So when I was on the phone with them, I got that all up to date. They had not been sending out statements or anything to us. It was just up to the guys whenever they got an invoice to hand them over. I did not get those invoices, so I didn't know about them. And once I called Summit, Summit got me copies of those invoices so I could pay them.
Okay, when did you talk to them last?
This month.
Right after you.
Because I just got a call from them yesterday, right, and they hadn't heard from you. I can show you on my phone where I got a call, so
yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Well,
I don't know if it's two different people. It could
now.
Be. There's two different people. There's lots of Summit trucks, so okay. There may be more than one person working.
The two invoices are on the vouchers, so they're going to be approved tonight. Yeah. The checks will go out. We can even drive the checks over tomorrow.
And this
we're talking about $400 total? Maybe? Not even?
And then the other thing I was going to ask you about is I did get another call from the company that does the drug testing.
Yes.
They haven't been paid for October.
It's on the voucher list. I have had a chat with them this month as well.
Okay. Do you know how they could have been, if they were not missed? I mean, I know I sent you one copy of the October stuff.
Yeah,
that they emailed
it's
to
something
me.
That I missed in my email when I was going through. It was out of all the emails that I get, I missed one email when I was going through and printing stuff off. So, yes, that is on me. I missed that email. I did not print it off. I realized that when I was going back through stuff, and I picked that one back up, and it is on the voucher list.
Okay, so this voucher list is only lacking Chad's check?
Correct.
I believe so.
And do you have a total of the vouchers?
I do not.
How much was Chad's, please?
$6,500.
Or is there a total of them anywhere in here?
No, there is not, because they have not been approved. Therefore, they're not in any of the reports.
Well, okay, so this expense detail for November does not include everything but Chad's that does have a total?
The expense detail is everything that we paid in November.
Right.
So, yeah, everything that we're going to approve tonight is not in it. Because it hasn't been paid, it hasn't been approved.
Okay, why don't you just guys go ahead and...
That's the same thing we've done.
No, it isn't the same thing we've done. You
yes,
just
it
go...
Is.
No,
those are the,
look,
are the October
this
voucher
is not,
checks.
We're not going to go get thrown out because we're going to argue. We're not going to argue. You guys vote it, okay? I'm done. I just got a whole nother list, so I'm... No.
Okay.
No, you guys are in a majority, and you've made that very clear. So
okay.
You go ahead and vote it. I'm not going to vote for it.
Okay. Did you have anything else in your...
Nope. Report?
Okay. We're going to move on with the treasurer's report.
I was adding stuff up for Julie. Vouchers incurred in November, if my calculations are correct and I didn't mistype something, it'd be 103,995.29.
Did I get both of these in advance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
the drafts, yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Two times?
They're in the same email.
Okay, so this is this is the revision, and only Chad is missing from this.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, end of year stuff. Lots of fun. Because basically I try to crunch out 2 months worth of work in 1 month. For the month of November, we had a beginning bank balance of $363,474.43. We had cleared transactions, giving us an ending bank balance for the statement. I can also say statement balance on this of $337,254.49. We had some outstanding transactions that had not cleared the bank. So once those clear, that would give us an ending balance of $287,114.73. All the details are in the following pages. When I say that I try to do about 2 months worth of work and 1 month in the month of December, what I do is I do my usual voucher list like I would for the previous month, everything that we incurred in the previous month. So in this case, December, the previous month would be November. So all the expenses that we incurred in the month of November, we would typically pay out in December. But to try to get us as close to, because of government and how it works, everything that we incurred here in December, I try to figure out what all those balances are to pay all those vendors also in the month of December, because that way it goes against our budget in that current calendar year and doesn't affect our next year's budget by moving that over to the next year. So I have the vouchers incurred in November list. Going through, since I had all of the stuff I was doing in one time, I kind of had to make sure that I separated it out pretty good. I had some changes that were caught in going back through. So the vouchers incurred in November seems to be pretty accurate. Jeff goes through, looks at all receipts, invoices, everything that we get, and I'll let you speak to that part.
Okay.
What you do.
That was something that the auditor, when we had our 2015 audit done, said that as one of the checks that you were looking for is that when Katie creates the list of the checks to be paid, that one of the other board members is checking receipts against those. And so I go through and I make sure that each of the checks is verified by a receipt. So this is November and this is December. That way you have two board members signing off on the money going out the door, basically.
So I will move that we approve the and pay out the vouchers incurred in November.
I am really shocked at the road materials. 110,000 dollars in 60 days in rock.
Yeah.
And hauling.
The all that rain that we had for about 3 weeks straight in September, October there. It was actually declared by the state of Kansas as a FEMA event. We have a letter from the KDEM, Kansas Department of Emergency Management. So there's a couple of things there that, yes, the roads got that wet for that long. And also, frankly, I learned a lesson. Needed to put more material on the roads.
I knew nothing about that letter you got. It would have been nice if you would have shared it.
I'm pretty sure you did.
I'm pretty sure you didn't, since we didn't have a meeting until we had the Pizza Hut meeting.
Okay. So anyway, in the past, one of the mistakes that I made, and just me, not Katie, not Julie, was choosing not to haul the cream rock from the quarry, trying to wait until they had gray rock, and in hindsight, that was not a good strategy at all. So one of the problems we have there is that they have 33 feet of cream rock in their rock base, and then there's 13 feet of gray. And so you can, number one, three-quarters of the rock coming out of there is cream, which nobody likes. It's soft and dusty, and everybody hates it. And unfortunately, when it rains, the bottom of the hole fills first, the gray gets filled, and then it's also the last to drain. So we've had ongoing issues of trying to get rock from the quarry there. So the response in September, October was a little bit of, I learned my lesson. After that storm, when the rain stayed that steady for that long and we couldn't get equipment on the road, I know that obviously I can't ask you guys not to go to work, but you take a small pothole at the beginning of 3 weeks and let it just get hit continually for 3 weeks. That's how, partly how the roads ended up the way they did. And I know it was the last straw for a lot of you, and I apologize for that. Some of it, like I said, a little bit of stuff out of our control, some of the stuff that absolutely was my mistake. So, yes, there was an absolute...
It's a lot of money.
I don't want to say ton of
rock.
That's
a lot of money. That's, what, 25% of our budget?
Now, our budget for rock each year is about $160,000 to $200,000, and we are going to end up at about $220,000, $230,000 in rock this year. And the... just a little bit
over. Is that going to affect what you laid aside to pay for the
chip
millings?
Seal?
Well, no, we know the chip seal was thrown out the door.
No, it wasn't at all. We've already paid for the millings, and we will probably have about $110,000 to $120,000 to carry over for the chip seal project next year.
Well, I was talking about the chip seal project that was going to be done this year. I understand that you decided not to do it this year.
That was not me. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Let's see. There's a motion on the table. I believe I seconded it. I'll second it again. Motion made and seconded to approve the November vouchers. So moved. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
And abstain. Okay.
All right. So on to the December. December, I don't get statements yet. Statements typically don't come out until January. So what I do is I take all the invoices that I can find from the guys. I really hit them up a lot more than normal towards the end of the month. And then I try to call vendors towards the end of the month to try to get as accurate information as I could. Had a little bit more trouble this year. Apparently a lot more people went on vacation. So the vouchers incurred in December is as accurate as I can get without actually having the statements in front of me. But this is stuff that I could verify, though, with invoices and phone calls that was spent in the month of December. So I will move to approve the vouchers incurred in December.
Okay. Briefly on that again, I do have receipts for each of the vendors that Katie got a hold of. The only two that I don't are ongoing bills that we have each month. One is our accountant that we talked to on the phone. We know the dollar amount on that is $125. And the other one is our website, Lee Media, which is $85. So I don't have physical receipts for those two amounts. But we did talk to them on the phone. It was basically just, hey, is your bill the same this month as it has been the whole year? They said yes. We put it on the vouchers. So I will second the December vouchers.
Okay, before we vote, for the record, do you know of any outstanding debt that the township has that is not included in the December vouchers?
I do not know, and if there's anything that I didn't find, I won't find out about it until January.
So you don't know whether or not there is any outstanding debt?
Yeah, as best as I can tell, there is not.
Because it does have to be on your report, even if you get it late and amend it all. It still has to be on your
report. Yeah, it'll be on the annual report that I do to the county.
Yep.
Okay.
Last year, I don't think you had anything to put on there, but this year, if you don't know where you are, then...
The only thing that I can think that might come up through Southwest, through the quarry, our latest invoice is 1226 yesterday, and the guys were running rock today. They made tomorrow and over the weekend through the 31st, so we may have a little more rock for the next 4 days, 5 days. Other than that, we're stocked up on fuel and everything else, so...
I know that we... Did we not have a meeting where we decided that we weren't going to use that rock? I just was wondering how we could spend this much money in a single 60-day period. It is troubling to me that one person, and I suppose that would be you, has authorized this entire expenditure.
Okay, one person didn't authorize it. We agreed.
We weren't in meetings, so what do you mean we agreed? We agreed on what? We didn't agree to buy limestone.
We agreed 3 years ago when we decided that the road crew could not have three bosses.
Nothing to do with the rock.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So when we had a rainstorm of that event, of that magnitude, and yes, the material hadn't been put on the roads for at least in decent quantity for a while, that amount of rock was 1 to 2 inches of the cream rock on every north-south mile, and right now we're at, I think, at least two-thirds of the neighborhoods. So out of 70 miles, that covered, I want to say 50. I don't have the exact in front of me. Sorry, I have a list at home. 50 to 55 miles out of the 70 is what that all that rock covered. It literally, we went township-wide with that.
You know, and that was your decision to do that, apparently. But I guess there's been, like you admitted, there's been so many mistakes this year.
I didn't say that.
Okay, then you said you made a lot of mistakes this year. Or maybe I didn't get that right, but whatever it is, it's troubling to me that we could spend all this money and not... And nobody know about it except for maybe you. And, of course, Katie, since she's writing the checks. But, I mean, that's a lot of money to authorize in a 60-day period when we were planning on a layover.
That's not a lot of money. When you talk about at the beginning of the year that our rock budget is going to be $160,000 to $200,000,
and
you've known that for 3 years.
What made you decide to do this all of a sudden?
All right.
Can you just tell me that?
We're going to
move on. Or are you just going to go on with the meeting because you don't want to?
Hey, excuse me.
Excuse me. You don't want to answer it, okay.
No, that's not what I said.
Well, I just wanted to know.
I learned my lesson. No, it had nothing to do with the petition. It had nothing to do with anybody outcry. I saw the shape that those roads got in after that rainstorm for 3 weeks straight, and I learned my lesson, frankly. That's it. It honestly is.
Can I ask a question? What about the chip sealed road on Hillwood? It's disintegrated to nothing. Are they
going
to put more rock on it? Are you going to re-chip seal it?
She's talking about the millings.
I know, the asphalt millings. Okay, so that's something totally separate. Let me come back to that in 1 minute, okay? We're in the middle of this. I will answer that. Okay, the December vouchers, motion's been made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Okay, I'll answer that question real quick, and then before we move on, that millings project into the neighborhoods. Some of you have not been to a meeting before. I'll just touch on it real quick. Came from an opportunity of all that construction going on up at Andover Road. When we go and buy millings, typically they run $10 a ton, just for us to buy them, and we then have to haul, truck them, spread them, grade them, do everything else with them. Through that project, we were able to get the millings for $11 a ton. It's the ground-up asphalt that's coming off the road. Donlinger and...
Apex.
I just drew a blank on who did the milling. There was another company that did the actual grinding, sorry. Donlinger was the main contractor. Anyway, for $11 a ton, They crushed them, ground them, hauled them to us, spread them on the roads, rough graded them, and fine graded them in the neighborhoods that we chose. And all we did was we listed all the neighborhoods by number of houses and went, started at the most houses and just worked our way down the list. And we just say we're going to go as far as the millings will go. And as far as they kept coming out of that project. It came out in three shifts, or three different sections as far as coming off the road. The first one was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. That's why I remember that. The next one was about a month and a half after that. And then that last one that came through Hillwood was the big chunk. Was about 5,000 tons total. We were able to do a little over 3 miles with that. Unfortunately, that literally came 1 week after Rick Brown had passed away, our overseer, which unfortunately his passing was 4 days after we'd, or 5 days after we'd had to let one of our operators go, Rance. So all of a sudden, we have the Millings project coming. It's the biggest biggest chunk of what they have to bring us, and we had one part-time employee. So in talking to Donlinger, worked out with them to have them water and roll the Millings as well. They only charged us an extra $1.50 to do that for all those tons. And so they were, they did everything, soup to end. And our part-time employee was Steve Jones at the time, who has a full-time job and was only with us on the weekends. That section of Hillwood from 180th going in about a quarter of a mile, unfortunately only got touched with about half an inch to an inch of millings. It didn't get the full 4 inches that we were supposed to get. They ran out. They didn't, I don't know, they just didn't spread it thick enough. I was there at the time looking at it. I drove on it. I drove through the whole neighborhood. I replaced a mailbox, unfortunately, that got knocked over. And to be honest, just that those millings didn't get put down thick enough is all that happened. They, like I said, they had a couple other neighborhoods that turned out really well. The back part of that neighborhood turned out really well. Actually, Hillwood is, I want to say it's about 1.2, 1.4 miles total, if I remember right. And it's just that beginning 200 yards right off of 180th that it just didn't get thick enough. And so, yeah, we've done a little bit of patching on there, some of the potholes that showed up right away. And that we'll just have to address it again in the spring. As soon as it gets warm enough, we'll have to address it again.
What do you mean by address it?
Well, we may just put down more millings over it. If we have to haul them, we can get them for, well, we actually looked into three different piles of millings around the area in the surrounding counties. What are we, December? This was the end of September, just as the weather was still just warm enough. We were trying to find more sources. The three piles that we looked at APAC, Donlinger's had their own pile, and then a third one, they were all too dry. There literally just wasn't enough oil in them to help them stay together. It would have been just like putting straight gravel down. So we didn't.
Why can't you do what you did right there at 180th, right there on the other side of
The chip seal?
Deer
chip. That chip seal is a lot more expensive than the millings. Like a lot more expensive.
It runs roughly three to four times as much, and even well, even three, four, five if you count all the prep work that needs to be done. When we did the chip seal project, that was running 50 multiple miles, so $53,000 a mile to do that chip seal project at the time, and that's not counting all the prep work that we had to put into it, building the roads up, digging the ditches out. Culverts, etc. It is. It seems like it's the most cost-effective long-term solution, and what our goal is to try and do 1 mile, maximum two. Two is going to be a stretch. It seems like each year to try and keep getting more and more of the roads turned to hard surfaces, and that's also what the millings into the neighborhoods. That idea, APAC had. Some experience with that. Donlinger has had experience with millings. At lower speed and low volume, they do last a lot longer. If you put them out on the main roads, they just get chewed up so fast and they're expensive. Sure, Dwight.
I have another question here. With all the construction they were doing out there at Pawnee and Andover Road,
yep.
Corneo subcontractors were running their big 9-yard, 15-ton dump trucks, and then Corneo brought in the paving equipment and they drove right past my house with a big old huge Landall loader with a paving machines, concrete machines on them, and that's like 70,000 pounds.
Right.
Are they going to come back and repair them? Because they tore them up pretty bad when they brought all that heavy machinery in.
But this was Corneo, not Donlinger?
Well, the semis were Corneo.
Okay.
The dump trucks were contractors when they were digging out Pawnee.
Okay.
It was contractors for one or two of one or the other.
Okay.
And they were racing through our neighborhoods. In fact, we even ended up calling the sheriff's patrol out. And they had to go down and have a back to Jesus talk with them about, you know, not driving through the neighborhood with a 15-ton dump truck at
right.
40 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know, and they've been running their trucks up and down Valley View, I know, pretty
yeah,
much the whole time.
Mad, especially in the corner intersection.
Right.
They come flying through the intersection and shifting that dump truck, just get tore into it, because those millings are not, they're not able to handle 60,000 and 100,000 pounds.
Right. Okay. That's something we can figure out how to talk to them.
They ought to be the ones that are repairing that. Putting down a new layer on it, rolling it.
Okay.
They were the ones tearing it up pretty good.
Okay. Sure.
You mentioned that FEMA declared this a disaster zone. Historically, FEMA reimburses repairs. Would you please update us on that?
Sure.
How much money did you receive from FEMA in this process?
Unfortunately, FEMA also changed their rules a year ago, and to use their words, they wanted to get out of the rock buying business. And so they raised the limit to qualify for Butler County as a whole at $250,000. For the state of Kansas, it has to be $4 million. And so even literally if our township gets slammed, or like Mulvane, 4 feet of water everywhere, if it doesn't meet the state threshold, the state doesn't get money. They've got a training class coming up towards the end of January that we're about a lot of the new laws as well that we're going to go to. So back in, beginning of 17, we had another, it's kind of a smaller, for us anyway, thankfully, FEMA event, and we ended up not getting any money from it. We went through all the pictures, the documentation, the video, spreadsheets as far as all our damage, and we didn't get any reimbursed because we didn't. The total, again, in the state, didn't meet that threshold. Over the past 2 years, there's probably been about $80,000 out of our roughly $1 million budget in the last 2 years that we've not been reimbursed for. It's just been surprise, or what do you want to say? Acts of God, more repair that we've had to make that we haven't been reimbursed for because of their limits and how they change the rules.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. We're going to go to the items of business. First one is, like I said, we have a township credit card that has a $3,000 limit on it. It's for the guys to do. They can just do small parts repairs, flat tires, stuff like that, hopefully on a quicker basis rather than needing to get approval for everything. Like I said, it's got a small limit on it. We just need to get it reissued into Robert's name since he's the overseer, because right now it's in James's name. So I will put that motion on the table. So moved.
Did we do that for Rick?
We did, yeah. And then it went to James.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Excuse me. Okay, we have the these KMAG resolutions. They're technically called gap waiver resolutions. It sounds like there's some discussion that wants to be had about changing to gap accounting. That's something we can do in January and look at adopting that for 2019 if that's popular with the township. Frankly, I'm not tainting it either way. Some people balked, just factually, some people balked at the $6,500 for an audit, $15,000 to $20,000. It'll be interesting to see. Some may think it's worth it, some may not. So we'll start with 2017. I'll be honest, I'm pretty sure we did these, but we can always just redo them, I guess. Let's see. To adopt the gap waiver resolution for our fiscal year and calendar year of 2017. So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All abstain.
Okay.
I think that will be found in December of 2016.
Oh.
Might be. Scott, did you hear that? I think that was directed to you. Okay.
Yeah.
It might.
They'll take a look.
Okay. And then.
No, we didn't have a January meeting, so that would have been February. But then I don't have any. I didn't have anything to do with the minutes after that, so.
Okay. So the. I'll put a motion on the table then for the 2018. Calendar year and fiscal year for the gap waiver resolution as well. So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All abstain.
Okay. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate all of you coming out. We're looking forward to next year. We've got some good accomplishments going with these audits, with some of the chip seal roads that we've gotten done. We're continuing on that long term there. And I'd like to wish all of you a very happy new year.
You're not going to open it up for questions tonight? That's usually on the agenda.
I know, but we're just going to go forward and move to next year.
Okay, then I have a couple of other things that I was going to do for people that couldn't be here at that section.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so if you'll open it up for that, then I'll play like I'm them. And
I haven't closed anything. We'll call it additional clerk's report.
Well, it's nearly not a clerk's report.
Okay, all right, whatever.
It's a questions okay. That usually you allow at the end of the meeting. You know, it's just not way to get along, you know, right? Okay. That's canceling what you've normally done for, what, 3 years? No questions at the end because you don't want them. Okay.
Extreme times count.
Pam McPherson is a...
Let's go ahead.
Are you going to cancel it in January, too? Pam McPherson is a client in the township that has made several phone calls to me, and I know she's contacted you because I got a copy of her email to you. But I have you visited the 148th and Tewakini site where she is talking about, where they've spent like upwards of $4,000 to $6,000 because we, the township, have failed to make the water drain appropriately on the other side of her road?
I personally have not. I know that Philip talked to her at length, and I believe Rick did, but I'm not sure.
Philip has been gone, what, a year?
Almost, yeah.
Okay, so...
Well, Pam only sent me an email a week ago.
Okay, but Robert, our new overseer...
And Pam's assertion is that we caused all of this flooding, which I don't believe is true.
I'm not an engineer, so again, the only way that we would be able to determine that is if we actually called the county and asked for the... support of an engineer.
I'll go talk to her.
Well, sure. I don't think any of us are qualified on the board to make that decision, but I did see
okay.
Do you think you're qualified to make that decision?
We won't go into that.
Okay, I did see a lot of erosion, and I did see where it had traveled across the road, and I do feel like, my personal opinion is, it is the township's fault.
And, so you're unqualified.
And, hey. But, you know, that's just my opinion. And I'm not qualified to give that. That's why I suggested the county engineer, which I hope that they pursue. Do you want me to send an email to them and ask them to co-review it? Because it might take 3 or 4 months. But Robert went out there with Mr. Cutts. He's already viewed the site.
Okay.
And told them in front of me that he would be getting back with them real soon and doing something about it. But now, see, they've had more rain.
Okay.
And every time it rains, then it crashes what they've done in their yard.
Okay. I'll go talk to Robert about them. We'll... Okay.
Do you want to send an email to the county to ask them to come out and take a,
well,
a look at it?
I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start with the guy that's got 30 years experience and talk to him first.
He actually decided in front of me that he wasn't going to do anything without talking to you first.
Well, I'm sure that could be budget or priority-oriented versus strategy-oriented, so I'll talk to our overseer. I don't think that's unreasonable. We'll start there. Did you have something else?
Oh, yeah, I had plenty, but the most thing I had was the ability to sit here and listen to people that had problems and complaints and the board being receptive, but you've decided that tonight you're not going to hear any of it. So maybe when the meeting's smaller and you have less people here, you'll be more open to it.
Not what we're worried about at all. Ladies and gentlemen, you have my word. In our January meeting, I will sit in that meeting as long as it takes to talk to every one of you, answer any of your questions, be absolutely open and transparent to anything you want to know that I can provide at that moment. Okay? We're just looking forward to next year. All right? Thank you. Hope you have a happy new year.
Thanks. You didn't find that email, Katie. Be sure and send it to me again.
I saw it. Julian's there.
Well, you may have seen it, but I haven't seen it.
Well, you keep saying that.
And how is it that you saw it?
Copy.
Really? Send him a copy? I'm telling you, I don't care. You need to send it to me again. I don't have it. And it is 7:58.
Oops. Well, I won't have any.